Well, we're continuing on in the Gospel of Matthew, and in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. The last time we were together, which is a couple of weeks ago, I know I was in Marguerite and Pastor Hugh was here, we had left off where Jesus was telling us, trust God, do things God's way, and accept God's ways. Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. We discovered that as we looked in the passage of Scripture that we saw. But there were a group of people that were not willing to accept God's ways. They thought they had a better way. And you know, it still goes on today. Sometimes one of the biggest hindrances to people coming to the Lord is religion. Now, there's nothing wrong with pure religion. You know what pure religion is? Anybody know what it is? What's that?
God's word.
God's word, okay. Visiting the fatherless. And the widows and the orphans. Pure religion is lived out. Right? It comes from God's word, but it's lived out. If it's not lived out, it's not worth very much, is it? Empty shells of religion God is not interested in. He has come to change our hearts. He has come to fill us with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. All these things come with real religion. Well, there was a group at that time called the Pharisees, and they were the religious rulers of the day. They were the most opposed to Jesus. Why? Because he hung around with broken people. Because he loved broken people. Because he ministered to broken people, where they said, we don't want anything to do with those kind of people. I thank you, God, I'm not like other men are. This is one of their prayers, as we find out as they prayed. Well, now Jesus is thanking God for something. And in Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Mouthful. And yet in this passage of Scripture, Jesus turns towards his Father and he acknowledges, Lord, you've hidden truth from some and you've revealed it to others. Now, doesn't God love the whole world? Well, why is it that truth would be hidden from some and revealed to others? Let's identify, first of all, what group of people is the truth hidden from? Let's, what does it say here? Yes? The what?
Wise.
The wise and the prudent. Wow, there's nothing wrong with being wise and prudent, is there? Why would he say that? The wise and the prudent. Okay. Yeah, it's not real wisdom, but it's those who think they're wise and prudent. The ones who were recognized, oh, you're wise and you're prudent, you're the smart ones. Wise in the ways of the world, but not wise in the ways of God. And he says, it's been hidden from them. Things have been hidden from them. But you reveal them to babes. Well, who's the babes? Okay. The humble ones. The ones that are like little children. What did Jesus say? Unless you become as a little child, the faith of a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said. Didn't he say that? That's what he said. He said a little child in their midst. And he said, listen, if you want to get in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be like a child. You got to be humbled. And you know, humility is not a natural trait for most of us. It's a trait that we need God to bring us to humble us. And sometimes God allows even devastating circumstances in our life to humble us and to put us in a place where we realize, I am weak and I need God's strength. I'm not Mr. Self-Sufficient. I can't do everything. I'm not strong. I'm weak. When we think we're strong, that's when we get into trouble. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise according to the flesh. See, that's worldly wisdom. And not many mighty and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Now, there's a great lesson in these passages of Scripture because it leaves us in a place where we realize God is calling and yet what happens is that if I am full of my own wisdom, if I am full of my own strength, and if I am full of my own arrogance and think that I'm okay because I did this, this, and the other thing, or I'm better than the next person, the Bible says, whoever compares themselves among themselves are not wise. So as soon as I begin comparing myself with somebody else, and you can always find somebody who you think is less than you, right? Or someone maybe who you think is greater than you, the Bible says it's not a wise way to go. It's not wise. Rather, if we could understand something clearly this morning, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It's level. No one is better than anyone else. Who did Jesus save when he was hanging on a cross? Did he save the Pharisees who were looking on, shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Did he save those? Did he save the Roman soldiers that were nailing the things in his hands? He said to forgive them, but did he save them? Who did he save? A dying thief. Probably the most unworthy person there. And he acknowledged it himself. He said, "We're getting what we deserve." That's what he said to the other thief before he turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He saved a dying thief. It is a lesson in learning for us to understand that it isn't how you compare to the person next to you that matters. It's how you stand up to Almighty God. And when you have to stand before Almighty God in His perfection, suddenly you will realize, uh-oh, 10 times over. Because all of our righteousness that we possess, or we think we possess, is based upon how much better we think we are than somebody else. That's what the righteousness we have. And you know what God calls that righteousness in Isaiah chapter 63? He says it's filthy rags to God. Clean rag, you do something with filthy rag, it's done. So there's a humbling place that God wants to bring us to understand that we are weak, that we are the ones that need a Savior. You see, God is willing to call all men, but only some men are going to respond. And if I refuse to respond to the light that God gives to me, I'm not going to get any more light, because there's no other place for light to come from. It's not going to come from some other place. It's going to come from the Lord Himself. And God is calling us to repentance. That was the first message that Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That is repent of self, of self-independence from God. That's all that sin ends up being, not depending on God. Unbelief, the Bible says, is the damning sin. And so here, that's why he's chosen the foolish things and the weak things to put to shame the things which are mighty, that is in the flesh. And so when Jesus says this, he says, "I thank you for your wisdom, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're revealing the truth to those who are humbled. You're revealing the truth to those who are weak. You're revealing the truth to those who have no strength in themselves. But Lord, you're hiding the truth from those who refuse to be humbled, who refuse to acknowledge their need." And he makes it so plain at the end of this prayer. He says, "For even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." You know, when I read this here, I want to say, "Lord, I'm a baby. Let me be a baby, Lord. Lord, I take my place as a baby. Lord, I take my place as one who is humbled. Lord, I take my place as a weak person, not a strong one. I take my place before you, Lord. I acknowledge I cannot save myself. I acknowledge my sin has got me in trouble with you. But you, Lord, are the only Savior that can save me. For it seemed good in the sight of the Father. All things," he says in summary, "have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, the one whom the Son wills to reveal him." He says very pointedly here, he says, "I am the only go-between between God and man. I'm the only one." You know, there's no other mediator. The Bible says there's only one mediator given among men. One Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't have to go through Joe to get to God. You don't have to go through me to get to God. Thank God for that. I'm not available half the time. But Jesus is always available. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, said Jesus. These are his words. I'll take his words above anyone else's. I'll trust his word in this. And he says here, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. That is, knows him fully and truly. And no one knows the Father except the Son. That is, to know him truly. And the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. And so the Son is involved in salvation. If I want to be saved, I must come to Jesus. I must come to Jesus. I could go to church all my life and be lost forever. Lots of people can do that. The Pharisees were the most religious people of the day, and yet they were lost. God wants us to come simply, humbly, to his Son. And when we do, he will reveal the Son. He will reveal the Son. He will reveal the Father. He is willing to reveal the truths of God. And what does he say next? He says this. Come to me. He makes these statements. He prays. He's been public. And he thanks God and he makes it clear. Listen, I'm the only way. The Father has designed for me to be the only way to God. And then he turns to the crowds of people and he makes a statement. One of those precious, beautiful statements in the scriptures that we've come to this morning. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So now, while it is true that it is only the babes, the humble ones, that will receive God's word, let me challenge you this morning. Will you make yourself a babe? Will you make yourself a childlike person? Will you humble yourself before a mighty God? Because if you will, then these words will burn in your soul. And these words will be a royal invitation to you this morning that you can come. That there's an open door for you this very morning to come to Jesus. Because here's what he says. He says, come, first of all. That is a wonderful invitation, is it not? Come, come. And you know, that's a beautiful word. You'll find the word come all through the scriptures. You'll find the word come, and he says, come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. That's what he says. Come. Come for the cleansing of your sins. He says, come. If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. In the book of Revelation, it says, whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. God is in the business of calling people to himself. His invitation goes out, come. How many does he say to come? All. He says, come to me. Come to Jesus. Don't go anywhere else, friends. Don't rely on anything else. No matter how beautiful it is, no matter how religious it is, no matter how irreligious it is, and none of it matters. What matters is if you come to Jesus. Have you come to him personally? Have you come personally to Jesus Christ? Because you can come. He says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, all you that are striving, all you that are carrying a heavy load. Wow, that could include a lot of people, couldn't it? Yeah. Can you tell me some of the loads that people carry? Any kind of loads? What are some of the... What's that? The load of sin is the greatest load of sin. Tell me some other loads and we'll get back to sin. Guilt? Guilt's a big one, isn't it? That's tied with sin, isn't it? Yes? Okay, and that is a true burden. You know, the Bible says to keep the law, the Ten Commandments, right? Anybody here kept the Ten Commandments perfectly? Raise your hand. Anybody? No, you have not. Matter of fact, if you went through them carefully, how many do you think you would have broken? All of them. Do you know the Bible says if you have hatred in your heart to somebody, you've already committed murder. Thou shalt not kill. Right? Whoever looks on a woman and lusts after her, he's committed adultery in his heart. Oh. You don't have to go out and commit adultery, you just have to think it. Right? Why? Stop nudging each other there now. I saw that. Listen. God calls us to a standard far beyond what we're able to do. And you can suffer under that. You can feel the weight of it and the guilt of it and the shame of it and feel no way out of it. Jesus says, come to me. I can look after this. I'm big enough for this. Why? Because he fulfilled the law perfectly for you because you couldn't do it. And then he took the punishment for your sins on the cross, and he took the guilt and the shame. Everything was taken on the cross so you can go free. Isn't that good news? Oh boy, I'm so happy to have that news. What other weights can we carry and strive under and burdens? Things, what's that?
Stress.
Stress comes from what?
Worry.
Why worry when you can pray? Right? Stress comes from worry. And worry about what? Finances. That's a big one, right? Health issues.
Family.
Jobs.
Huh?
Life practically. Yeah. Anything and everything can be a burden. Now, I want to challenge you and encourage you to become as a little child. Because generally, little children who are well cared for don't have to worry, do they?
No.
No, they don't have to. Oh, I wonder if I'm going to get breakfast this morning. I wonder, am I going to eat today? Did little Michael worry about that this morning? I don't think so. He didn't have to worry about that. And little children don't have to worry when they're well cared for. And when I come to Jesus Christ, and I come in my humility, and I realize things are bigger than me. All my needs I can bring to the Savior. I can surrender everything to Jesus Christ. I will find Him to be there for me. Didn't Jesus say that earlier, as we saw in the Sermon on the Mount, when He said, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you'll put on. He said, don't worry about this. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. He'll look after you. Oh, what a blessed place to trust God. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we're in the middle of it, and things don't seem to be going upward. They are going downward. And of course, many people have experienced that with the economic downturns that we have known in the last few years. But God is still on the throne, and He's still saying, come to me. So let me challenge you, first of all, make sure that you've come to Him for the big things, and then the little things will follow. First, come to Him for the forgiveness of sins. That is the biggest load you could ever carry. That is the load that will cause you to wear a burden right down into the very depths of hell. But God sent His Son Jesus to rescue you. And so He says, come to me, all you that labor. Every single one can come. Sadly, many did not come in Jesus' day. And sadly, many will not come today. They think there's some other place to go. I'm worried about finances. I'll go to the bank. Well, maybe you need to go to the bank, but go to God first. Go to prayer first. Many are thinking, well, I don't have a problem with sin. We all have a sin problem, and we all have a Savior who's given us what we need. He says, I will give you rest. So the promise is, if you come to me with your load, I'll give you peace. I'll give you contentment. I'll give you a place of rest, is what His promise is. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, the yoke is something that we don't see so much in our culture. They still use oxen to pull in Sri Lanka, in the fields? Or is it all tractors? Tractors? No more oxen pulling? No? Okay. Well, they still do this sometimes here, but more for show than anything else. But a yoke goes around the ox's neck, and it goes around the other ox, and the two of them pull together. And Jesus says, I want you to take my yoke on you. I've got a yoke for you. Now, what He gives us a picture of is, we're going through a world, we're pulling loads. And He says, now, if you're finding yourself that the load is too heavy, then you just come to me. And He says, I will yoke myself with you. I will come alongside of you. I will come into the traces with you. And I will pull. And when I pull, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's a pretty nice picture, isn't it? That pictures a few things. First of all, it pictures that not only is Jesus saying for you to come to Him, but He's saying what? I'll come to you. Isn't that good? I'll come to you. I'll come alongside of you. I'll pull with you. I'll take your load. That's what He says. That's a wonderful picture of the grace and the love and the compassion of Almighty God. But you know what He says here? He says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. When you wanted to train a young ox, you know what you did? You put him with a An old ox, right? You put him with the old ox. Why? The old ox knows what to do, right? And so instead of, you wouldn't put two young oxen together because you'd have pandemonium, right? But if you take a young ox and you put him alongside the old one is staid, is solid, is wise, knows just what to do, and then the young one just kind of follows along. He's learning. He's learning from the old one. But Jesus says more than that. He not only says that you can learn from me, but he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am approachable. You wouldn't want to put a young ox with an ox that was ornery, because what would happen? It would be a battle. It would be a war, right? But instead, he says, I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. Jesus says, I'm approachable. I'm gentle. I'm approachable. What characteristics of Jesus we see here. What compassion as he calls us. He says, I want you to come. I want everyone to come who's carrying a load. Everyone who's carrying a load, please, he says, come to me. Come to me. And he says, take my yoke upon yourself. Be gladly. Come in the traces with me. Come and let me take control here. Come alongside of me. Let me pull. Let me be there for you. Let me teach you. And let me love you because I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And the promise is you will find rest for your souls. It's a place of rest. Many years ago, I realized I needed Jesus Christ. In 1978, I came to Jesus. I found rest for my soul. But you know what? Every day, I need to keep coming. It's amazing how quickly I can start carrying loads that I shouldn't be carrying. And then I come and lay them at his feet. I said, Lord, I need to be with you. That's it. Do you know that Christianity is being with Jesus? Yes. And the yoke is a picture of being actually chained together. Right? Christianity is being with Jesus. That's the heart of Christianity. That's what Jesus wanted to do when he came here, was to be with you and for you to be with him for time and for eternity. And that's what he says here. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of life, in the midst of all the circumstances that can crowd you and all the weights that can come upon you, come and be with me, yoke yourself with me, and I'm telling you, he says, I will carry your load and you will find rest for your soul. Getting anxious about something? Better be with Jesus. Stop. Say, okay, Lord, I pulled on my own enough here. I'm coming alongside of you, Lord. And he's always ready. He's always saying, every hour, come. Every moment, come. And thank God that we can come to him, because he promises that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, does that promise that cares in the world will disappear? Yes. Nope. No. That you'll never have any struggles? There'll never be any problems? Is that the promise? No. He, as I trust him, causes them to be light because I'm not carrying them anymore. The longer I grow as a Christian, the more I discover how weak I am, not how strong I am. The more I discover how much I need to lean on Jesus Christ. I don't get stronger as the days go by. I get weaker, and gladly so. I trust my Savior to carry me, to pull me, to be with me in every trial, in every circumstance of life. Friends, if Jesus Christ would go so far as to go to a cross and to die there for your sins, what will he do for you now that he's risen from the dead? Will he not fulfill his promise here? Can you not come to him and find rest for your soul? I want to encourage you today. If you have no rest concerning where you're going to spend eternity, you can have it today. Jesus Christ has the answer for that. If you have no rest because of situations in your life that you're facing, come to Jesus. He will meet you there. He will pull the load, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what he promised. And his word is always true. And I thank God today that we have a Savior to come to. We ought not to be a people filled with anxiety and worry and fear, because every answer is found in Jesus Christ as we trust in him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for such a royal invitation that's given to us that we can come to Jesus. And we can come just as we are. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, the greatest load that we could ever carry. And Lord, that we can have deliverance from the guilt and the shame. We thank you we can come to you, Lord, with the smallest weights and the greatest problems, that Jesus cares and cares deeply. Oh, Lord, that you would come and yoke yourself alongside of us, that you would come and be with us forever, Lord, and that we could be with you forever, Lord. I give you praise. And I pray, Lord, for each one in this room, that each one would make certain that firstly they have come to Jesus and been saved by the grace of God. And secondly, that we would come to Jesus for every issue of life and find him to be the faithful Savior that he is. Thank you, Lord, for this time together today. We give you praise for all your mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.